or two from this morning.
They'll be cute. Okay, great.
Thank you.
All right. I would like to call the meeting of the Application Review Committee to order. Today's date is June 3rd, 2019. Time is 7:31 a.m. The purpose of the meeting is to substantively review psychologist applications. Ms. Folks,
I'm sorry, Dr. Meyer, the date, you said June 3rd?
Sorry, I was reading an old script. How about May 27th, 2022? thank you. Ms. Folks, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Catarino?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. All right. Agenda item 3, approval of the April 29th, 2022 draft minutes. Are there any changes, additions, or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the April 29th minutes?
I didn't get access in time, so I can't make that motion. I have to look at it later.
We'll put those access. We'll put that off till next meeting.
Sorry.
No problem. All right. Agenda item 4. Discussion regarding approval of psychology applicants. And we have, looks like, a couple people present. Dr. Medrano, thanks to me, we don't get to review your application today. I had to recuse myself because I have interacted with you multiple times. Dr. Catarina will review your application next week at the full board meeting when we have other members present. So I'm so sorry, but they'll be able to move forward with your application next week.
Thank you for letting me know.
Yes, sorry you had to get up and join us this morning. Yeah. But that'll be taken care of next Friday. Have a good week. And Dr. De La Cruz, we can start with your application then. Give me 1 second.
De La Luz,
sorry.
Okay, got it.
I am not fully awake yet, apparently.
I just thought it was somebody that I didn't have. I was like, oh my God, where is that?
Okay, so this is C, requesting approval for licensure by credential. Dr. De La Luz has the CPQ previously, or licensed in Florida, California, Illinois, graduated from Nova Southwestern in 2013. I didn't see any problems with the application.
No, I didn't either. I'm glad they have CPQ. So she has one. I think it's fine. I would move that we accept the application.
All right. Seconded. So we'll move that to the full board for approval. So that will be reviewed and confirmed next Friday at the full board meeting. And then you'll be received notice from the board. So thank you for joining us, and you're good. All right, let's move back to A, requesting approval to sit for the ECCP and licensure. Dr. Catarina, do you want to start?
Okay, so I have Monica Gibson, who's a PsyD from Argosy University. She was attendant Argosy and then graduated from Chicago School of Professional Psychology. She has over 2,400 hours in pre-internship. She has internship, APA internship with over 2,100 hours, postdoc 1,900 hours, two recommendations, so query form, I saw no problems.
Nor did I. Next is Quentin Brown. This was a request for additional information. We received corrected hours.
And a new, I think we have a new recommendation. Previous was a social worker.
Non-psychologist, right. Correct. So references we now have. So I didn't see any problems with this application.
I didn't either.
All right. Next.
Oh, me. Dr. Hoskins graduated from Midwestern, has APA internship, so it doesn't list the hours, but has to be at least 2,000. Has pre-internship at Desert Heights for 636 hours and 540 with Dr. Briggs. So that's over 1,170 hours, so that makes the 3,000. Has two recommendations and the self-query form, so I think that's okay also.
I did not see any issues with his. Next is Brian Gaviria Jimenez. Previously failed the EPPP, so he's applying to take it again, so we've already reviewed his material, graduated from Adler University in 2020, APA accredited, had pre-doc hours with verification and training plans, as well as an internship, submitted new references. I didn't see any problems.
Yeah, I didn't either. So I think that's fine. Jennifer Kraska, SID, and from California Lutheran University, graduated in August 2021, has an internship at the ASU Counseling Center, postdoc at Washington State University, for a total of pre-internship and internship, 3,500 hours, I saw no problem, and a postdoc of 1,500 hours, so I saw no problem.
Nor did I. Next is Veronica Poor. She's reapplying for her fourth attempt at the EPPP Part 2. She did provide a brief study plan. Her application's been reviewed numerous times, graduated from Argosy in 2015, completed pre-internship and internship at in school settings. Her internship was APA accredited. She submitted references. I didn't see any problems with this one.
Not me either. Okay. And Jose and Bezerra, I did have some concerns here. So graduated from California Southern. Previously was in a PhD general psychology program at Grand Canyon University. On one of the forms, the title said that he was an intern, but it was really a pre-internship. And then for the internship, one place it said 2,098 hours, another place 2,080. There was a postdoc, 963 hours. My biggest, and on the internship, it said post-clinical psychology internship. So I don't know what that meant, post-clinical. So then on the pre-internship, at one place it said 96 hours and then 196 hours. But the biggest problem of all this was that there's no secondary supervisor mentioned. There was the school university coordinator, but all the programs, the pre-internship, the internship and the postdoc were all with the same psychologist. And I only see, I don't see a secondary person at the site, and it's not an APA site.
Yeah, and they did correct the postdoc forms, but the internship forms are still inaccurate as well with hours. And I, too, have concerns about all of his hours, pre-internship, internship, and postdoc were all done at a private, the same private practice.
With no secondary, really.
Out of, but is that a...
Well, it used to be you had to have...
Is that specified, though?
I know for my students, it was hard. I had to find two psychologists to be at the site.
Yeah.
And this is why the consortium merged some sites so they could have access to two different licensed people. Like Prescott and Avondale were merged.
Right, but is that in the code that there has to be a secondary?
I was going to look, but it used to be, yes, because that was a major, it was very difficult to find licensed school sites, and it used to be in there. Maybe someone could help us, Ms. Galvin or Ms. Folks.
Jean, take a look at 32.2071 subsection F, and I think it's like subsection F2 or F3. I can't get it to come up on my computer, but...
So F2 provides that the training program provides at least two psychologists on staff as supervisors, at least one of whom is licensed or certified to practice psychology at the independent level by a licensing jurisdiction of the U.S. or Canada, and at least one of whom is directly available to the trainee in case of emergency.
Thank you. So if we
only
could,
one person.
Yep.
I tried to look up the site of the psychologist. I only saw that one name. I didn't see any associates.
Okay, so the without evidence of a secondary supervisor, these hours would not count. In addition, the coursework is still not sufficient either. For assessment, he listed his course as psychopathology, which is not an assessment course.
I looked that up there. I had the same thought. And in the description on the right, it said testing. Did you see a little bit?
Yes, but that's not an assessment course. Okay. Psychopathology is covering... DSM and diagnosis, but not psychological assessment.
I taught that. That's what I thought. But then when I saw the testing, I wasn't sure. Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can mention what tests might be appropriate or necessary to make a diagnosis for a particular disorder, but not this is to demonstrate training in administering assessments.
Okay. Yeah, I wondered the same thing, so that's okay.
And then for treatment, also, he put psychopharmacology, which is not psychological intervention. So the coursework still is also not appropriate. So,
I'm pulling it up. What did it have for individual differences? I thought I remember.
Social cognition.
I thought it was
a little bit of a stretch, but I think that the argument could be made that that would fit under that.
Okay, because I tried to look up that course at Grand Canyon. The only way to do that was to ask to be enrolled and admitted there. It was very difficult.
Oh, come on. No. Sacrifice. So
I couldn't. I wondered about that one also. Okay.
So I think we need to, number one, the hours for internship are not accurate on the form. Number two, documentation of a secondary supervisor for his training for all three setting or all three pre-internship, internship, and postdoc.
Well, you don't need component. Secondary and postdoc, right?
That's correct.
Really? Okay.
And also, I don't think you need it on pre-internship. Am I right, Kathy? It's just on the internship you have to have the secondary. I'm not sure about the pre, but I know about the post.
I'm sure about postdoc, but not pre-internship. I thought there had to be a secondary.
You have to check that.
Looks like just the internship.
That's what I thought, finally. So that's the problem.
All right, so then his postdoc is now, the documentation we have is sufficient, as is pre-internship, but that still leaves, he would need 1,500 hours of internship.
Yes. And I think you have to have an internship. I mean, it's all together has to equal 3,000, but the internship is... got to be there.
You have to have the post or the pre. Right.
You have to have the internship.
Mr. Chair, committee members, in terms of internship, I'm not aware, and Gene can correct me, but that there's a way to correct an internship after graduation.
Oh.
Mm. I don't know.
So they need to provide documentation that there was a secondary supervisor, and then the hours need to be accurately completed.
But, I think it's a good point. So if there wasn't one, you can't make it up?
No. He would need to complete another internship, I guess.
Okay. But that's my question, is how do they complete? They'd have to re-specialize? Is that what we're talking about? Or... because he's already graduated, he already has his degree, he can't go back and do an internship without respecialization, I think.
I don't know how he would have to arrange that.
That's what I heard too, Kathy. I think she's right.
But we're not at that bridge yet. Maybe he'll be able to provide proof of a secondary supervisor.
Okay, good.
Okay.
But I would think he could possibly work with his school that is signing off on an internship that meets all of the requirements. I don't know. But
I think they're counting the person at the school. And that's a California school. Like they had different regulations they listed, like you only need 1 hour a week for the California, it said. So
right.
That may be okay for the California students, but not if he wants licensure in Arizona.
And we've run into that before where somebody had to, the requirements for California did not meet Arizona, and they would be required to get licensed in California for a year. And then they could go through universal recognition.
That's what I was just thinking. That's the way, yeah.
If I may, I have one other question. You said, Dr. Meyer, that the hours don't appear to be accurate for the internship, but I don't, did I miss what that meant?
I have different numbers.
So they, yes.
I have 2098 and 2080. Right, Dr. Meyer, you agree?
Well, let me pull that up again.
In the pre-internship, I have 96 and then 196.
It's just for internship.
And I also have postdoc, 1120 versus 963. Maybe those were accumulated later.
I'm talking on just the internship form.
Okay, then I have 2080 and 2098. I'll pull it up.
He's saying that there was... total overall hours of experience is 2080. This is on page 49, I think. Okay. And then on page 50, it says total number of direct client contact hours is also 2080. And there was 337 hours of individual face-to-face supervision. So those numbers don't add up.
I see. I see it now. Thank you. I was not sure what you were looking at. I appreciate that.
Okay. So, Kathy, do you have all the requests?
I believe so. The internship, no second supervisor, and the hours don't appear to be accurate from page 1 to page 2, number 7. And then the core program requirements, coursework, the assessment, the course for psychopathology does not meet requirements for assessment. And under treatment, psychopharmacology is not a treatment course.
And what about the social cognition? Are we accepting that? If you think you can.
I think that's sufficient.
Okay.
I think it's not a treatment course. It's not an assessment course.
Well, both assessment and treatment.
Okay, I didn't hear assessment. Okay, sorry.
We're not met.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Okay, so we have for this section
the I first. Mentioned Medrano, then.
That's the one that I had to recuse from.
Yeah, so I don't say anything here.
Right, it has to be done with a second board member, so we'll do it at the full board.
Okay.
So I would make a motion to move the first six listed, Gibson, Brown, Hotchkiss, Javeria, Jimenez, Kraska, and Poor to the board for approval for to sit for the EPPP and licensure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. B, requesting approval of licensure by waiver.
Do we have to say anything about the Medrano case that will go to? Do we have to say that now? Make a motion to move that to the full board?
No, it's just put off.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, waiver is Callie Lantrip. Graduated from University of Oregon in 2014, which is APA accredited. She submitted 2,000 hours for internship at University of California, Santa Barbara Counseling Center, APA accredited. She also submitted 1,556 hours from the same location for postdoc. She submitted a verification and training plan. She provided references. I didn't see any problems here.
No, I didn't either.
Okay, do I hear a motion?
A motion to move to accept the application of Kelly Lantrip for licensure.
And move to full board for approval.
And move to full board for thank you.
Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Last is requesting approval for licensure by Universal Recognition. You want to take this one?
Okay. Angela Fisher, graduated from California Southern, licensed in California since 2021. She has a proof of residency in Arizona with the utility bill, and she has the self-query form. I think she has everything she needs.
I agree. I didn't see any problems.
So we make a motion to approve the license of Dr. Fisher by Universal Recognition and move to the full board.
Okay. Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Next, agenda item 5, discussion, consideration, and possible action on certified school psychologist references for applications and adding all supervision hours to application. Was this your item,
well,
Dr. Carino?
Yeah, I think, well, it's not exactly what I said, but I have some. I didn't know on the form it says the recommenders have to be licensed or certified. But I thought that the certified referred to psychologists, just maybe depending on the state. Because some states at the time, I think this in the past, we were certified and then we became licensed.
Right.
But many people, like we saw with Becerra, I think, or somebody, not Becerra, they had a social worker, certified social worker approve. And many people I've noticed have certified school psychologists. And I thought they should have licensed psychologists. But I was told that it says certified, so it's okay. I think I talked to Heidi. So I don't know.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we did some research on this. We looked at the statute language, and we also found, Kathy, help me, I think minutes from a board meeting discussion from 2015. So, pardon?
18, I think she said. 18,
sorry.
2019, I believe it was.
Okay, so more recent than I remember. That's right. So the board has determined that the statute language needs to be interpreted such that we need to be able to accept recommendations from certified psychologists.
But that's for out of state, right? Not certified school psychologists.
No, they said that they can accept
this. Ms. Galvin, I believe that was that we determined that we need to accept them from certified school psychologists, correct?
Correct. And the minutes seem to reflect that understanding.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those in a school setting would be able to, you know, meet the requirements.
Right. So this is something that we can have a bigger discussion, you know, relative to this issue. It can first go to the legislative committee. Dr. Myers, you know, I'm trying to arrange a meeting in early August, and we have a series of issues for the committee to discuss. So if you would like, I'll put that on the list.
Dr. Katerina, do you want that further discussed?
I mean, I thought it should be, but I'm not hard and fast on it if you don't think so.
Oh, happy to discuss. So, yeah, if you could put that on the agenda for us as well.
So, and the second point that I brought up was really not exactly what you wrote. What I was looking at are the forms. So, for the internship, postdoc, and pre-internship, they all ask different questions. So on the internship, it says number of hours the trainees work per week for blank weeks, total number of individual face-to-face supervision. So, okay, I'll tell you all three, and then I'll go back to the questions. On the postdoc, it says number of hours trainee work per week, total number of postdoc experience, number of hours of individual face-to-face supervision. And then on the pre-internship, it says total numbers of direct patient contact hours per week, total numbers of face-to-face supervision distributed as follows, at least 2 hours for every 20 hours worked, total number of individual supervision 1 hour per week, 1 hour per 20 hours, total hours of group supervision, hours of face-to-face supervision, and hours of group supervision. So I thought that they should all be the same. And then I thought that maybe we could add like things like total number of hours of the internship experience, because we have to multiply out each week, which isn't hard, but I thought we could do that. And then I noticed that on some of these, like the internship, it doesn't mention anything about group and only individual. And it, you know, the percent of it, I wanted to be something where we could see exactly if they are meeting the 2 hours per week, you know, it's like maybe a percent, some number that says they're 2 hours per week. So that's where the questions, but that is not exactly what's written there. But that was my concern. Like, could it be all the same so we could reflect the group and the individual and the just total number?
Consistent, same format across those forms.
Right. But then I think I talked to Heidi, and that's not how it's listed in the statute either. Right, Heidi? So there was a statute about it. It wasn't just a form. That's why I didn't know.
Well, but the statute doesn't dictate what, like, we could include additional questions that aren't listed in the statute just for clarification purposes. There are differences in some of the requirements, right? So you only have to have 25% client contact for pre-internship, 40% for...
And post...
Yeah.
No, wait, there was some place where it said 40%, yeah. Oh, and intern, where is that? That is 40, I saw that.
Mr. Chair, committee members, if I may. The forms, the verification forms are crafted based on the statutes and rules. And Jean, please correct me, but it's my understanding we cannot add questions that aren't in statute or that the requirement it's trying to assess is not in statute and rule. The pre-internship subsection E4 of 32-2071 says that for pre-internship, at least 2 hours of regularly scheduled contemporaneous supervision per 20 hours of supervised pre-internship professional experience. Internship, however, says training includes, and this is F6, subsection F6, training includes regular in-person individual supervision conducted on a contemporaneous basis with a minimum of 1 hour of in-person individual supervision for each 20 hours of experience. And it says nothing about group supervision at all. Right. Postdoc also, subsection G5 says, same thing, regular in-person individual supervision is conducted on a contemporaneous basis with a minimum of 1 hour of in-person individual supervision for each 20 hours of supervised professional experience. So that's why the forms differ, is because the statutes differ. If they said the same thing, we could ask the same thing on all of them, but they don't. So we ask only what's in statute.
The application, excuse me, has to reflect what the requirements are. You can't add additional requirements via the application, but that doesn't mean you can't structure the application in a different way or to have your applications to be similar based upon, you know, the experience level, but you just can't add requirements.
We could ask the question you're saying, like total number of hours for internship, let's say, without having to say that's a requirement.
But that's on there.
Well, I only see, so number of hours worked per week for so many weeks, could we say total equals 2,000?
Oh, on the first page of the internship form is where the total hours are.
Oh, it's not in that other place, section B, okay.
If the committee wanted that change, well, we're almost ready to go live with our online application, so I'm not sure if it really would make enough of a difference before that. Because I think, I don't know, Heidi, do you think we're within a month of going live, or is it like July 1st or something?
The target date is June 28th. We think it will be another couple of weeks beyond that. We think Venti is a little unrealistic, but 6 weeks from now.
I lied, that they'd be fillable forms.
The application will be completely online, no more PDFs. They're going to go log into a portal and answer all the questions there and upload documents. We'll still get verifications the same way, but we'll upload them there. And then the system is going to pull it all together for us. So it'll look totally different to you, but everything is sectioned out. It'll be something you'll have to get used to and how you look at it, but it's still very, very functional and will be much better for all concerned.
So we could put the total down there then, right, in that order?
If you wanted to, we could for the next 6 weeks, sure.
Is there any way we can have that to figure out that we have the 2 hours per week, like some kind of...
It's not in the statute.
Maybe we can...
Well, if you just divide the total number of hours by 20, then that tells you how many supervision hours they need.
I know, but I was just thinking it could be filled out, you know. I don't know. I was just trying to, and I was trying to see if they could all be the same, but I guess not. Because we don't have the group, but it's not in there. Okay, so I guess we can't do anything differently. I just... wanted to know.
Good try.
It was a good question.
So, and then that, but that's not the, now the way you phrased the question, I can't, what was the way you listed the question? Because it wasn't exactly about the application on the agenda. How did you have to, do you remember?
Well,
What does it say there? I have to pull that up.
Adding all supervision hours to the application.
Okay, so it meant the total. Yeah. Okay, yep. And group. All right. That's it.
Okay, so we will discuss the... I forgot. For Legislative and Rules Committee, we're going to discuss the first topic, which I already forgot. Sorry.
Which is certification recommendations by certified school psychologists. Yeah. And also, would that cover the certified social workers?
No, it has to be psychologists.
Oh, that's why that other one wasn't accepted.
Yeah.
Okay. And then that's all for five then, I guess.
All right. Agenda 6, discussion, consideration, possible action on call for comments on the ASPPB resources for the regulation of practicum experience for licensure requirements.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I will sort of tee off this discussion. So ASPPB reached out to member jurisdictions to inform them that their publications review committee has been working on updating a publication called ASPPB Guidelines on Practicum Experience for Licensure. So they are sharing the draft with member boards and requesting public comment to them. I thought I would start by putting this on an ARC agenda to learn whether this is something that ARC wants to formulate some comments and forward them to the board for purposes of possibly arriving at the comments to submit in response to the draft. This can, of course, go to the full board, and the full board can take a shot at it, which sort of gives, you know, more more input potential to it. But I thought I'd start with ARC to see if this is something that you would even want to forward. Of course, this isn't something that I would provide comment to, because I don't want to represent any comments as that of the full board without that direction from the board.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any comments that would need to be made. We already have statutes regarding pre-internship. They didn't use Arizona as an example, so I don't know what's wrong with them, but
usually that held out to be the fine example. Maybe they decided not to do that this time.
Maryland, Massachusetts.
Yeah. So that would be my one comment, is why didn't they include us? But not really. I didn't see anything. And this really, they've moved from it being a guide to just resources. So I don't, I think this would be more beneficial for boards that are looking to add the pre-internship, but doesn't really have an impact for us.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would agree with that entirely. I felt like this was sort of my due diligence to present it, but I agree. I just don't think that we could, you know, any comments we might sort of fabricate wouldn't necessarily have a whole lot of value for what they're trying to accomplish.
Right.
Okay. Very good.
You know, I wonder too, just a side note, if other states count the pre-internship the way we do. Because I'm the one that made that recommendation many years ago at a board meeting. Could we just add all 3,000 to make 3,000? Because the school psych internships used to be 1,500. So that's how it started. So I wonder, do all states count pre-internship?
No, but I don't know what the number is right now. I'm
curious. Now I'm wondering, everything I suggested before, now I wonder, because I think that some of the pre-internships don't have the two supervisors, and sometimes they're not by a licensed psychologist. So now I wonder.
Well, the biggest reason, or one of the points for moving to this model, was to make it more in line with the medical doctor format, where psychologists aren't having to do the extra postdoc to become licensed. Now that can be more specialized training, but that they're able to practice independently, similar to medical doctors once they graduate. So we're always still worried about being the loser stepchild or whatever, yeah. MDs. But again, this, we've already done this. And across the field, that's really kind of the push, is to move all licensure to being eligible after graduation and after internship is completed. But again, we're already ahead of the game.
So I was at this board meeting many years ago, and they were saying you had to have $2,000 internship. And in those days, we didn't have that because the school year was $1,500.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And so then I said, well, could they count their practicum?
Well, and you see some states are 1,600 hours. I don't know of any that say 2,000, maybe New Jersey, because I was looking at, we were maybe going to move there, and I was going to have to get more supervised hours after being licensed for many years. So,
yeah.
Among many other reasons.
But they were going to go with the APA 2,000. Because the APAs are, I think they are all 2,000, right?
No, they don't have to be.
No, they don't, APAs. No. Oh, good to know.
Mr. Chair, Dr. Catarino, just to throw this out there, don't move to Delaware because you'll have to take the ECCC all over again. They require the ECCC after if you've taken it 5 or more years ago, you have to take it again.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
Yes.
Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that out there because I saw that this week.
Yeah, but you can be incorporated in Delaware. That's their big thing. All these corporations go there.
So, all right.
Okay, thank you. I just was curious about that. So I would make a. Oh, do you have a new agenda? I forgot. I was going to adjourn.
Nope. Next is any new agenda items for future meetings?
No.
Hearing none. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes, I was going to make that motion to adjourn.
Seconded. All in favor say aye. Aye. Mm. Any opposed? Motion carries. Oh, I do this every time.
What?
I thank you all for your work and getting all the material for us that still needs to be in part of the meeting. but appreciate all the help and support on this. Now, meeting adjourned.